And a continuation this evening, as we did a couple weeks ago, looking at our hope we have, in Christ. That's something unique about a Christian, is that we have a hope above the world and far surpassing what kind of hope the world has. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we started out chapter 1 and looked at what Peter brings out for us in what he labels that wonderful hope that we have in him. It's called a lively hope, he says there in chapter 1 and verse 3. It's a living hope. And I sure pray and hope that you have that. Again, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to take the Bible and show you that for sure. That's something you don't want to play with, right? That's something you don't mess around with. You want to make sure you handle that and make sure of that. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 now. If you will, notice what he says, wherefore laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Everything in the word of God points towards our growth. Remember that. He never one time did Jesus say, it's okay to stay stagnant, stale, and lazy. It's all right. You just sit back and relax, does he? He always says, growing, okay? As he emphasizing here again with Peter, okay? You may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, well, yes, we have, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious. Ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head, the head of the corner. Notice what it is, though. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. Okay, now we'll continue in just a minute. But I want you to notice this with me, that our hope is in jeopardy. Our hope is on shaky ground if we do not know the person of this book and this book. Okay, he says that they are they're stumbling and it's an offense to them because they stumble at the word. They don't receive the word like they're supposed to. They stumble at it. It's difficult for them. They don't understand it. I'm surprised at people, I'll hear it often, but they'll say, Brother Tim, I tried reading the Bible, but I got through it and I got stuck and I couldn't understand it, and so I closed it up and quit. Biggest mistake you can make. No, you keep on going. And we're going to see that tonight. Okay. Now, this hope we're going to see brings us truly closer to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Number one, we see the harmony that it brings. The harmony. Where he says in verse 1, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. So you think about that. Hey, Brother Adam, could you turn the heat down a little bit? I'm burning up. Are you guys hot? You're not hot? It's because I got a jacket on and I got two vents. Do you mind? All right. The harmony that it brings. Now, notice it's the results of this powerful hope. Okay. Now, we've studied this before, but it's good to emphasize this again. But he says, notice, lay aside these things. Lay aside. Well, what do we do that for? Because we have a new hope in Christ. I don't know about you. You remember the days when you hoped for certain things as a kid? You hoped for Christmas, couldn't wait for that day. Maybe you hoped for other things. When you got maybe dating your spouse, you hoped one day. They would always hear that, and I'd say, oh, I hope the Lord doesn't come back before I get married. Right? Lord, let me get married first. You think about, now today you hope for other things. But you think about what God is saying to us, and particularly through the Apostle Peter. He says, now make sure you tell these folks to lay aside certain things. Now, you've got to lay aside things in order to take up other things. I try to emphasize this to many folks. But you've got to lay aside certain things in order to pick up, right? If you're going to pick up this book in your life on a daily, habitual basis, you've got to lay aside other things. Well, good case in point for me is, I had to turn I got the Bluetooth. I don't know if you got the Bluetooth in your truck or your cars. and you get in the truck, it automatically pops on. Well, I had to turn those stinking songs off, and they weren't bad songs, but some of the music off, and I have a Bible app on my phone now that it picks it up and it starts playing it. And I'm still struggling because sometimes I'll just let it play and I'm not listening like I'm supposed to, you know. And I think about that. I had to lay aside something I enjoyed. I like some of that, listening to some of that, and pick up the Word of God. Now, I'm being a little bit elementary with that, but you understand. Peter says you've got to lay aside certain things if you're going to pick up this hope, and in particular, what God has for us. Okay? Now, there are some enemies to what we call our harmony or the hope that we have. A couple of these, the malice, that's ill will, that's evil intent. Desire to harm, that's guile, that's slyness, cunning, that's deceit. Hypocrisies, he says, that's pretending to be what one is not, or to feel what one does not really feel. You talk to people like that. Easy to be that way, isn't it, sometimes? There's envies, he says, that's a desire to have what one possesses. We know that's not good. He speaks extensively of that in the Old Testament. Evil speaking, again. John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's a high standard, isn't it? Jesus loved us so much, he went to the cross. Jesus loved us so much, all that he endured. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. They spit in his face, they slapped him, they punched him, and everything else that they did. Well, we think about what he endured for us and what he did, how he loved us. He says, love as I've loved you. He goes on to say in verse 35, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. A lot of people have misplaced that, or I should say replaced that. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you all dress the same, say the same things, you look the part, you say the right words. No, you have love one toward another. Now, talking about here the harmony. Now, Peter knew extensively, knew in detail, knew by experience, I should say, what it means to be at odds with somebody else in his life, didn't he? Jesus, walking along with him on the seashore after his resurrection, he's telling Peter all about what Peter's going to have to go through. And what does Peter do? He turns around to John and says, well, what about this guy? You know, don't you got some words for him? I mean, you're getting all over me. What about him? And Jesus says, well, that's none of your business. What's he say? Focus on me. Focus on me. And getting out of sorts in that way comes back to, do we have the harmony that we should have with those around us? The harmony is produced as we possess the hope we've been talking about. Okay, the desire. Notice secondly, the hunger. No, verse number two, the hunger. So we lay aside these things, and in place of that, now notice what we do. We, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, I talked to Brother Josh this afternoon, and I said, how you doing? They just had the baby on Friday, baby Lily. And he said, oh, Brother Tim, it's the sweetest time. All of you remember that. He said, sweet, oh, precious little baby. But boy, she's loud, you know. And we can't get any sleep. And he said he's trying to stay awake and care for the baby during the daytime because she's going to be up all night with the baby, you know. But you think about it. He says, well, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk. That's what they want. That's all they want. And let me tell you what, they're going to let you know about it, aren't they? They're going to let you know when they get hungry. You ain't got to find out. When do we know when they want to feed? The nurse said to us with the first baby. Oh, you're going to find, you'll know. You'll know. Really? What else should we expect? It'll come to you. You know, you'll figure it out. And you think about it. Now, what's he saying? Desire the milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Now, in other cases, we know this. Paul says to the church at Corinth, what's he say? I came to you and wanted to give you meat of the Word, but I had to feed you with milk because you're babies. We desire the sincere milk of the Word, but we don't remain babies. We grow with it. That's what Peter says. You grow. The emphasis of the book of 1 Peter is to grow in grace. He goes on in 2 Peter to emphasize growing in grace. That's what we do. How do we do it? The Word of God. The Word of God. This book is the greatest agent of change. It's been labeled It's the greatest tool in your life to change who you are. You will be different this time next year by how much you spent in this book. That's for me, right? The only way we're going to grow, and friends, the only way you're going to know the truth is by being in this book. You know of the book. I talk to people all the time, and they always say the same thing. Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. Are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Do you know the Bible? Oh, yeah, I know the Bible. But do they really? No. They're not desiring that milk. Oh, it's the one thing the baby needs, that milk for that little baby. And he just says there's a desire for it. And let me say again, the more you're in the Word, the more of a desire you develop, as with anything. The more you do something, the more of a desire, an affinity you get for it, right? Thinking about that, I don't have time for that. Let me keep going here. Okay, the hunger. He repeats the point over and again. And he says, grow in grace. A good physician, as a good physician, Peter prescribes for them to root out what's harmful to us and change our intake to that which is healthy and nutrient-rich for growth. We're to lay aside and we're to desire. Notice that. Paul again emphasizes, I already said that, but that we would grow in maturity. As I said in the beginning again, that there's not one time in the Scripture that we're supposed to be stagnant or stale. We're not supposed to do that. And every time we get a little bit lazy like I do and apathetic towards the things of God, it'll do us good to get right back into the book. You can't be in the Bible too long before you start wanting to do something for God. And you all of a sudden, well, I want to do something for the Lord. I don't know why. I want to do more for the Lord. I don't know why. It's because you're in the book. You're spending time with Him. And desire the Word and get close to the Lord. And He says there, as you know, in chapter 1, again in verse 24, as all flesh is as grass, the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, flower fadeth, or falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. You want to be a part of that. And you want to pass this Word on to the next generation, because when you're long gone, this Bible will still be here. Paul likens the desire of the Word for as a growing baby, desiring the milk. We think about that. Strong desires and affections to the Word of God are a sure evidence of a person's being born again. It's developed. Again, the desire for the Word is developed. It's not given. It's not given. We develop it. We work at it. You and I don't have that natural desire to get up and read chapters and chapters of the Bible. We got to work at that. So think about now, not only the harmony and the hunger that we ought to have, this is what the hope is bringing out for us and helping us with. But notice there's a habitation of that. Verse 4, notice, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. Now again, what man rejects and disallows, if God is for it, who can be against it? Okay, so remember that. When man is against the church, we know that. But if God is for it, they ain't going to shut the doors on us. They're going to try to eventually. I think they're going to try it again real soon here. That's okay. We'll keep going. Man is against the Bible. We know that. They've tried to destroy the Bible thousands of times, still here today. They try to destroy all of Christianity, still here today. So remember that. He says that disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Jesus Christ is the very foundation stone of all of our hopes. Jesus Christ is the very foundation stone of all of our happiness. He communicates the true knowledge of God. True knowledge of God. Matthew 11:27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He communicates the true knowledge of God. We know that. We've studied that before, but the revelation. There's something called general revelation and specific or special revelation. And part of that special revelation is twofold. It's the Word of God and Jesus Christ. We know maybe there's a God out there. Well, we need a little bit of help to define who that God was. Well, that came through the Word of God. And it specifically through Jesus Christ. And it's a unique thing that Jesus Christ is likened to the Word, wasn't He? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he communicates a true knowledge of God. By him we have access to the Father. Now we're speaking about this living stone, okay? This living stone. We have access to the Father. John 14:6, you know that. I am the way, the truth, the life. That's a definite article. Not a way, indefinite, definite. I am the way. I'm the only way. People ask, well, what about other religions? What about these people? What else do we say? This is what the Bible clearly reveals. He is the way. He's the only way. By him we have access to the Father. Romans 5 says, by him we have access to him. Now we can have an open door of communication with the Lord. And shame on us for not taking advantage of that. Right? Me. Shame on me. Shame on us. Not taking advantage of the open door that we have with Jesus Christ. As he died on that cross, that veil was rent in twain. We now approach unto the holy. Through him we are made partakers of the spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're partakers of the spiritual blessings. We're partakers of what God offers to us. Wonderful, wonderful thing. But notice he's disallowed by men, and men reject him. But he's chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, your living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Notice that, the growth. You're to offer, you're to grow, you're to develop. As we think about this now, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Truly, he has been rejected by man. We know that. Our hope is not based or built upon a shaky or weak foundation, but upon the chief cornerstone. Remember that. Remember that. And if you're waiting for somebody else to encourage you and pat you on the back to solidify that, it ain't going to happen. You've got to come to the Word yourself. And you've got to know yourself. And you've got to be changed yourself, right? That comes through spending time in the Word. I want to encourage you with that. Take time with it and understand who Jesus is. He's a chief cornerstone. It will be rejected by man. It always has been rejected. Jesus said, listen, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Remember that. And I talk to folks often, and I myself fall into this at times. You get discouraged. Why? Because it seems like nobody wants to hear the gospel. You share the gospel with people? They don't want to hear it. And you wonder, well, how can they live outside of Christ? How can they not come to the truth? I don't know why. But they just won't. You live and work around maybe people that are just downright sinful. We must understand that we have always been in the minority. But remember this, Jesus Christ does his best work in the minority. And I'm often encouraged with that. He does his best work with a church like ours. He does his best work with a man like me. He does his best work with people like us. That's what he does. Because what? Through weakness, he shows himself strong. Through what the world sees as inferior, Christ says, good. I want to work through those people so that I receive all the glory. And remember that. Remember that. Now our hope is built upon, on this solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Peter again speaks of the relevancy of the Scriptures in verse number 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Now again, he's quoting there, and he's referencing, and he's pointing to what's called the preservation of Scripture. He's pointing back to the Old Testament. So Peter believed that the Bible was preserved for him, and so on and so forth. We don't have time for that tonight. The relevancy, the faith in Christ, it dispels the confusion. Now, three things bring confounding to an individual: disappointment, disbelief, and distractions. And you think about this. So many are disappointed, so many are in disbelief, and so many today especially are distracted. But he says, wherefore it's contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be confounded. You won't be confused. You won't be messed up. I don't know what to believe. No, you in here tonight, I know all of you. You know what you believe. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. I know. I'm solid on that. I'm focused. I'm settled on that. I know what I believe. And he says, if you put your faith and trust on that chief cornerstone, and you put all of the weight, the load-bearing walls upon that chief cornerstone, it will not crumble. Now, that's a guarantee from the Lord. That's a guarantee. And that's what he says. Remember that, friends. You can build your marriage upon Jesus Christ. You can build your family on Jesus Christ. You can build your finances on Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. Why? He's a chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. Unto you, therefore, which believe he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Head of the corner. Now think about that. There's disobedient people. There's disobedient Christians, but especially disobedient unbelievers. They reject the Bible. They reject the church. And he's, what is he? Verse 8, a stone of stumbling. They stumble at it. They can't seem to get over the Bible. You talk to people like that? Now, they may even claim to know the Lord and trust the Lord, but they just can't get over the Bible. And here's a quick remedy to that. Now, they don't want to hear this, but here's a quick remedy. Just do what the Bible says. When you submit yourself to this book, although you don't understand it, although it's hard to understand, although you may not want to do it, you submit yourself to this book, you're going to find out God was right and you were wrong. Somebody a while back said, Brother Tim, you said something in your message that wasn't right. And immediately I said, what did I say? I went back and looked, and sure enough, I did. I said something. And I had to apologize. You know why? Because the Bible's always right and Brother Tim is always wrong when it comes down to that. And we know that. Now I'm saying that we see here that he says that some stumble at the word and they have no hope. Some, it's a rock of offense. It's offensive to people. It's offensive. One person said one time, you're against all homosexual and transgender and same-sex marriage. I said, well, the Bible's against that. So you're against that too. I said, well, yeah, if the Bible's against it, I have to be against it. I can't stand for something the Bible's against, right? Now, what did that bring? Did that bring a great big attaboy and a great job? No, what did it bring? Persecution. They don't want to hear that. And when we stand for the book, we're going to be persecuted. When you stand on the chief cornerstone, you're going to be persecuted. Now, Peter knew this far too well, far too well. But they stumble at the word, and it's an offensive thing to them. Notice even to them, he's going to clarify, they stumble at the word, being disobedient. Do you know you stumble at the word because you disobey the word? We won't obey the word, we're going to stumble. I don't understand the word. The problem is you won't submit to the word. It's too confusing to me. It's irrelevant. It's archaic. It's an old book, doesn't make sense. No, it's because you disobey the word. You won't follow the word. You won't submit to the word. And that's a fact, Jack, right? We know that. Stumbling at the word, disobedient, whereunto they also they were appointed. Now verse 9, and we'll begin to bring her home here. You're a chosen generation. Notice, you. He's talking to us as a church. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You've been called weird and peculiar before? Yeah. We're different. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, don't forget that. You're called out of darkness. You once had hope in things that didn't last. You had hope in things that were temporal. Now you have hope in things that are eternal. Praise God. Oh, this hope that we have in him. He says you were called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh, I love how he describes the light. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. And you know it. He speaks here about making a choice to do what Christ has called us to do. Oh, what shall we say then? He goes on to say. I don't have time for that, but let's keep going. So we see it. Now, he brings out to us that holy nation that we're a part of. This is hope we have that puts us into a chosen generation. We're a family united. We're a group of people. We're called the ecclesia, the church. We're called the called out assembly of believers. Now you can watch church online, and that's a great convenience for us these days. And we have a wonderful setup. If you're never able to come to church, you're sick or out of town or traveling, I'd encourage you to tune in to our online and you can watch the services online. But we're to assemble together. That's what he says. That's what we are. Hebrews 10:25 says what? Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He says there's a lot of people around you not doing that.
But as you see the day approaching, so much the more. So much the more. And that day is approaching, I believe. The end is near. We're looking at that, but thinking about, we're a chosen generation. We're a people called out, a royal priesthood. You and I believe, I hope you believe, in what's called the priesthood of the believer. That means we do not put our faith and hope in the Pope. We reject the Pope. People don't like to hear that, but we reject the Pope. We don't believe in that. And we reject all of the priesthood that they stand for. We believe the Bible clearly teaches we have a priesthood of the believer, meaning every believer has a right, an obligation, and a duty to be a priest in his own rights. That means we approach the Holy of Holies ourselves. That means we take care of ourselves. That means we confess our own sins directly to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We don't go to some priest and tell him all of these things. Okay, again, now, as we've studied that before, we know that, okay? Let me see here. I'll keep going. We're a holy nation. We're a holy nation. Now, wherever we may be in this world, we know we are one nation in Christ, meaning we are part of the family of God. We're under one head, Jesus Christ. We agree in the same manners and customs and governed by the same law, which is the Bible. We're a peculiar people. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, meaning a special people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. We think about this. We are unique in our life. We're unique in our works. The world is zealous for evil deeds. The world is zealous for self-pleasure. The world is zealous for satisfaction of the flesh, but God's people are zealous for that which pleases Him. And that's unique in this world, isn't it? You're zealous for what God has commanded you to do. I want to do what God told me to do. Now, that'll get you fired. That may get you into trouble. But you want to do what God wants you to do. And Father, I want you to be pleased with what I do. I want you to be pleased with our church, right? A peculiar people, set apart, that ye may show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. Praises of Him. Okay, now verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He calls us strangers and pilgrims. Again, this world's not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're on a journey. You ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress? You ought to read that. It's a good book. What about this man? He's just a pilgrim. He's passing through. He finds the truth. And he realizes that he was going the wrong direction. He was living and going after money, riches, fame, and fortune. And he realized what life was really about. And he turned around and followed the Lord. And we think about today, Peter says, listen, remember, Peter was one to go after money. He had a very lucrative fishing business. His friends and brothers and family were all in it. They were making some decent money until this man walked on the seashore and pointed his finger at him and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they dropped their nets and followed the Lord. By the way, it's okay for you to drop your nets and follow the Lord. He'll take care of you. How are we going to make it? He'll take care of you. You prioritize the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. He'll take care of you and your family. And now you think about this. The meaning here of it. We're a holy nation. We're called out. Okay? That hope that we have in Him. In Him. Submitting ourselves. Verse 13, and I'll close it out here. To every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king and supreme, and governors, unto them which are sent by Him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. He goes through a list of things. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, be subject, servants, and so on and so forth. He speaks of now this hope. If you have a new hope in you, in Jesus Christ, and you have a new life now you live, it changes who you are. You're now different. There's harmony. Whereas there's once malice or strife or all of those things, there's now harmony. There's now a part of a holy nation. There's a hunger for the things of God and for the Word of God. You have a new hunger. And you ought to hunger after that. My friends, tonight, do you have hope in Christ? I hope you do. And I believe you do. And I'm so grateful that you're here tonight being faithful to the things of God. This week, I'll be praying for you. And I hope that you have a good week. I hope that God blesses you and takes care of you and keeps a hedge of protection about you and your family. But you and I have a responsibility this week. And I want to, again, I just want to, one of my duties is to stir you up and remind you of things you already know. Okay? And to feed the flock of God. But that is that I want to help and encourage you to stay in the Word of God this week. Okay? All of you do such a good job at that, and I do appreciate you. But I want to encourage you, stay in the Word. Do what you need to do to be in the Word of God this week. Get in your prayer closet. Make sure you're spending time in prayer. Write out a prayer list if you need to. And especially watch your testimony, but also share the gospel. If you get an opportunity, say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? I'm going to this little church over here. I think you'll enjoy it. Come with me. Come with me. And reaching out to folks. But walking with Him, desiring what this Bible and book will do, it'll stir up in you and give you such a hope beyond what you usually have. I know it does for me. And that's what we need today. We need more Christians that are focused on the Lord and seeking the Lord's will and not our own. Okay? All right. Well, I'll stop there. Lord, thank you for this evening and blessing us to be here tonight. I know we've covered a lot of verses tonight. I hope you'd help us this week. As I say often, Lord, that you would strengthen us to do what you've called us to do. You've given us all that we need. You've given us the Word. It's sufficient. You've given us the armor. That's sufficient. Now our duty is to obey it. Our duty is to put it on. You don't ask much from us, Lord, and we know that. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us, especially myself, of such apathy in the Word of God and towards the things of God. There's people around us waiting to see us step out by faith. They're depending upon us to live for you. We pray and ask that you'd help us, Lord, and empower us and guide us as only you can. As your servants this week, direct our paths, Lord, to where you want us to be. Intercede and work, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we do pray. In his name, amen and amen.